Okay, so I get to talk about incentives. So how do we get people to adopt or change or use any of these next generation scientific publishing architectures or software that we came up with? So I like the fact that Jody talked about reading, because I wanted to ask you all whether you would like to read more, whether you would like to have more time to read more stuff. Show of hands. Read more. So I'm going to start with three questions, right? So, what is this? What's the next? So a question that lots of academics have, because we don't have very much time, is what should I read, right? But really, it's not very much about reading. It's about what I should pay attention to, what is important. Right? So we have many, many things that we should pay attention to. We should pay attention to our email. We should pay attention to some streaming conference from beyond the PDF. We should pay attention to Twitter feeds. We should pay attention to the discussions that we can have in mailing list. We should pay attention. So the critical question we have is not what should I read, but what's important. And actually, an even more important question that academics often have to themselves, and I do this a lot, is what, how am I doing, right? Is what I'm doing good, right? Am I having, I'll use the word, impact? Am I building my experiments? Am I doing well? And so we have this combination of how do I know what to pay attention to and whether or not I'm doing well. So a lot of these questions about what to pay attention to and how am I doing all revolve somewhat about measuring impact. And our impact measures today are very, very simplistic. And these impact measures, so I'm speaking about the journal impact factor or even citations, are not very good at being filters. So this is an example of, the number of Medline index articles published for a year exponentially growing. And to get through this and to understand what's there, it's very difficult. And one of the filters we rely upon is citations and journal impact factor. And now, if you're not scared about this, and I think some of you have just gotten on Twitter this conference, you should be scared of this. This is a conference that I was at last weekend called Science Online, and there were 9,000 tweets. Right? So that's in a weekend. That's in 2 days. The filter failure is an extreme problem, and it's very hard to figure out what to pay attention to and what's important. So another issue that we have is that scientists do more than just write papers, right? And we do lots of things. And if you look at what Phil gave us, it's examples of other things that scientists do. So one example is you give presentations like I'm doing now, and that's a really important part of science, right? Going to a conference, giving a presentation, and really we don't get very much credit for doing that. In fact, you often talk about people just saying, oh, you get to go to San Diego or you get to go to Raleigh, North Carolina. It's nice here, but it's pretty intense, right? We're doing a lot of work, right? And that's not measured at all today. We communicate to outside parties. You communicate to the public or journalist. For example, I talked to somebody at Nature the other day, spent an hour giving an interview with them. That's work too, and we get some credit for that, but not that much, right? So this is something that's not really measured. And we produce data sets, and we've heard a lot around today about, or these past 2 days, about the importance of data sets, the importance of reproducibility, and how much work it is to actually make a nice data set, right? Produce the metadata, make it available for download, describe what the columns of your CSV tables are like. And that's a lot of work, and it's valuable work, but again, it's not measured. And finally, then, if you're really new age, you may start producing videos online about what you're doing. And this is a great example. I love this. This is from a guy named Steve Koch from Koch Laboratories. And he He actually films what he does under a microscope, and then he puts it on YouTube. And actually, this is a very effective means of scientific communication. And he was he gets lots of collaborators this way, because it's actually pretty easy to Google and find his stuff. And then he gets collaborators and people build on it this way. So yet another thing that he's doing that you don't give very much credit for. And finally, we come to the final paper. And with measures like the journal impact factor, we don't really often look at article level metrics. And we also don't look at, if we just focus on citations, for example, citations are very slow. It usually takes like 3 years to get actually calculate the impact of a paper just based on citations. So we have article level metrics such as downloads or views that may be a good proxy for how people are paying attention and whether something is important. So we do a lot of different things as scientists, and we can measure lots of these things. So we can measure downloads, we can measure what readers read, we can measure data citations, we can measure how things spread through social networks, we can measure if people are using my slides and who tweeted my conference presentation. We can measure peer review contributions. We can measure lots of different things. But the question is whether anybody thinks those measures are important. And I think one of the things I would like to talk about here is whether or not some of these measures can be turned into something that is worthwhile and that we can use not only to tell us how we're doing as scientists, but to build new filtering systems. And so I think this is a really important thing. I'm going to be finished actually soon. I built a lot of time in for talk questions. So this is really important about whether you guys actually believe any of those measures are worthwhile. And if you don't believe those measures are worthwhile, right, or the things that we can come from these measures, when we talk about going beyond the PDF, the things we do there, if we measure them in a different way than what is subscribed to typically, i.e. the journal impact factor, I don't know if people will adopt these notions. So it's a very, very important discussion that we have if these alternate measures are important and if you're willing to use them. So I wanted to actually build a piece of software for this event, and a friend of ours who's been tweeting a lot named Jason Prim actually did a mock-up for me, which is an aggregation of all these different measures of different parts of the scientific process, your slides, your videos, and your articles. And so I was actually trying to build the software, and that comes to my three kind of concluding points, and I'll go from the bottom up. So the reason I don't have a live demo to give you is it's really, really hard to get these metrics. Even if you're willing to pay for these metrics, it's a lot of programming work, and every new site that comes online, you have to reprogram for that. And so one suggestion I would have is for any of the tools that are out there today, these next generation scientific communication tools, it would be excellent if you could give one simple API that gives me some metrics. And if you're a publisher, I know maybe that metric is something you want to make money on. That's fine, but make it simple for me to access, and I'll even pay you for it. But right now, it's very, very difficult to access those metrics. So my second point is that we've seen a lot of tools today, and we need to figure out how we can cater for multiple platforms, so WordPress and Drupal and current publishing platforms, SlideShare, YouTube. We need to be able to figure out how we cater for multiple scientific artifacts, right? We've seen lots of different parts. It's not just data, it's synthesis data, it's workflows. There's multiple artifacts. And finally, because we have multiple artifacts and we have multiple platforms, there are many different kinds of metrics. We need all of these alternative metrics. And finally, when I get a synthesized artifact, i.e. a paper, I want to know not just how many times that paper was downloaded or how many times that paper was cited. I want to know how all the parts of that paper are impacting everything else, right? And I think that's a goal to work for. If we can know how much parts of the paper are having impact, we can do better filters and we can know better how we're doing. And I'll just close right there. Push the bottom.
Oh, here he is. Well, hang on, we got.
So I totally agree, and I want to emphasize that also before jumping immediately into the tools, it's really important not to repeat the mistake of the impact factor. So it's important to first sit down and decide what is really the metrics that matter, and because, for example, the most downloaded paper this year is probably the arsenic paper, right, which was criticized rather than caused a positive impact. So decide which are the good metrics, and also to start with a multidimensional thinking, not just adding up everything. So the best example I know of on Twitter is the Clout, for example, application, which Clout measures your network and measures your like whether you're a specialist or a generalist, etc. So I would like to see some prioritization of metrics. And
so I guess my point would be is there are a lot of metrics, and actually there's lots of social science to be done about what is a good metric. But right now we're using one metric. I'd rather see, you know, let 1,000 metrics bloom, and then we can characterize a better what's happening in science. And I think that's important motivation, so that we can value and we can filter on many parts of the scientific process.
I think I'd add to that we should be thinking very much about what we want as outcomes and what, because you get what you measure for. So thinking deeply about what the outcomes of research should be, and measuring the things that will lead to that is also approach to take.
So all this discussion has said what I wanted to say since I put up my hand. Just the final thing, I can imagine this in the future. I like Cameron's distinction yesterday between pre and post publication review. So if you imagine a world where there's lots and lots of metrics just popping out associated with each paper on the web, and then somebody who does just correlation studies and says, it looks to me that, you know, here's a cluster of 4 or 6 or 12 measures that all of them indicate something relative to other papers. And it turns out that this is sort of what people tend to trust after 4 years and 5 years and 10 years. And when you have the retrospective awards, what was the most important paper 10 years ago? Sometimes you see that in conferences. When that correlates with the metrics, then and those correlations you can do, right? I think that would be a really nice way to get a more scientific approach toward validation.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea, but the thing is that we need those metrics available. So we need the data to do the science, right?
So here's a short-term thing. At DrupalCon in March, we're going to be doing a hackathon to build faceted review user interfaces so that when tied to sort of a semantic underpinning, so that when someone goes in and rates something, the UI also leads them to be able to add semantic subcategories to why they're rating it as they're rating it. And if anyone's going to be at DrupalCon in March, feel free to join us.
Sounds fantastic.
You're right about having to understand the sociology of metrics. And metrics is really a value system. Each metric has a value assumption, and that's where it's hinted at earlier. I put up a chart about different types of value. There's social value, there's the institutional values, there are political values. So I think we could sort of look at metrics in these different dimensions and then sort of customize and extract, depending on what values you want to demonstrate to what group and to what audience.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing right now is, I think the one of my issues is that there's many things that we do value in science, right? But oftentimes we're only measuring one value in science. And so we have the opportunity going beyond the PDF to highlight some of the other things that we value as scientists.
Okay, just one more question from Martin. We'll go on to Anita and then we can come back.
I personally think I have a love-hate relationship with metrics because that's not what science is about, but I realize that it's necessary. We have to move beyond impact factors. My question is, from a sort of strategic or practical point of view, does it make more sense to focus on one metric? And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, that data use metrics would be the obvious one to do now because there are data objects that you can cite and look at their use. Or does it make more sense to look at many different metrics at the same time, which is more realistic picture, but it's much more difficult and you might easily get stuck somewhere in between?
So I would probably suggest a twofold thing. So I think you could come and you could say this last point I had, make it easy to get all your metrics for all sorts of scientific artifacts. But as a community, you can say, so we believe in one particular scientific value that is not being rewarded today. And one of them I've heard today is this notion, or this past 2 days, is the notion of sharing data or reusability. So maybe what we need to do is focus on that as a community and say, we will reward and we will define something that makes it worthwhile for me to share my data properly to enable reproducibility. So I think those two, that kind of two-pronged attack would be excellent for this community.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to Anita's talk. I think we can come back to this discussion if that's what the group decides they want to do.